John chapter 14, verses 1 to 10. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If you not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
Lovely to worship together in God's house and God's people. So I come from a little community up in Canterbury, very similar to here. We had a weekly church in Darfield, and every second week we'd go out to a few other little districts and have church services out there, incorporating about five different rural communities. So that's where Steve and I come from. Just a bit of an introduction. Rhonda's a Luggett girl, and she's been living in Gore for over 30 years. She teaches at St Mary's Primary and has all the five-year-olds come to her when they're ready. So she's an expert in that area. I found my way south with my jobs, and I was playing Turner for about 15 years in Christchurch, and did a bit of shearing for a couple of seasons, and then decided to become a Baptist minister. So I was at Roxburgh for quite a number of years and had a lovely time there, eventually finding my way to Gore. So that's a bit of a background on us. When Jim asked me to speak, sometimes it's helpful to be told what to speak about. Sometimes it's not. So he mentioned about your mission statement, helping people to know Jesus in all his fullness. But then he said, we just really want you to talk about all his fullness. Right, okay. That's a pretty broad subject, I think. So what I decided to do was adapt. I did a series up at Waikawhiti Presbyterian last year, and I felt in my spirit that it would be good to adapt it to this particular topic. Jesus in all his fullness. We've just read from a special passage where Jesus tells us and gives us great comfort in knowing where we are going. He's prepared a mansion for us, a place in glory. And those are wonderful verses to bring comfort and solace, especially at times when people are facing their mortality, when we grieve for ones that we lose. Jesus tells us where we're going. But then come the questions. How do we get there? What is the way? How do we know? And it's interesting that Jesus, on about five occasions in those few verses, talks about knowing who he is and who the Father is. That's what we must all come to know. Jesus in all his fullness. Who is Jesus? Well, I believe the greatest statement that Jesus ever made to explain to you and I who he is this one. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one gets to the Father, gets to heaven, to paradise, to glory, except through me. Today, Jesus is the way, and he is particularly your way. And I really want to personalize it. This is the first part of what I want to look at about the fullness of Jesus. Who is he? What is he? What encompasses Jesus? What is the essence of Jesus? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But particularly, he is your way. He is your truth. He is your life. And until you get a sense of that, he won't be your way. He won't be your truth. And he won't be your life. Because essentially, everybody on this earth either lives to please themselves or to please Jesus, first of all. To have a knowledge of Jesus, to know Jesus. What really often regularly occurs to me is that today we have so much knowledge of Jesus, but so many don't know him. They know about him. And as we see in the scriptures, even the demons and even the devil knows a lot about the Son of God. They tremble. They can identify him. How many times in the scripture do we see Jesus doing something or saying something and someone who might have been possessed with an evil spirit jumps up, "Oh, I know who you are." Oh yes, you can't come in here and not think that we don't know who you are. Jesus is known by many people, by many powers, but few actually know him, have an intimate relationship with him. Remember the story of the sons of Sceva who went out casting out demons in the name of that guy, Jesus of Nazareth. "We cast you out." But then Paul called their bluff. You see, their demons came out and said, "Well, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? You don't actually, they don't know Jesus. Here they are doing things in his name, but they don't actually have a relationship with him." So today, I want to look at the first point of Jesus being your way, the way to eternal life, the way to fulfilled life, the way to abundant life. Being full up with the knowledge and experience of God Almighty. Being saved, having purpose and direction in his life. The way, one way. I remember back in the early 70s, one of my favourite Christian artists, Larry Norman, wrote a song called "One Way to Heaven." And he always had his finger up like this, and it was a classic thing that came out on car stickers, "One Way to Heaven." Jesus is the way. When I was up at Waikawhiti, my dad bought a fishing crib there a number of years ago, just above Dunedin there, and it's a beautiful spot. And the main street of Waikawhiti is called Beach Street. And there's a very good reason for that. When you turn off the main highway, there is only one road that takes you from the main highway all the way down to the beach. And that's called Beach Street. And that's where our little holiday crib is. It's a delightful area. But it's the only road. No other road in that town will get you all the way down to the beach. No other saviour will get you down that straight road to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am your way." He is the only direct path to heaven, to eternal life. He is the way. There is no other way. And I want to just highlight four points that we really need to understand this morning. That the way is only Jesus, number one.
We got that up there?
Yep. Okay. It's only Jesus. There is no other. We live in a world that increasingly cries out for unity, for uniformity, and often also in the area of faith. How many times today do we see world and even church leaders wanting to have joint things happening? They want to come together, and it's seen as such being such a noble thing to be all united together under faith, as Prince Charles would put it. Faith. Not the faith. Faith. What a difference there is between faith and the faith. It's like there are many ways, but Jesus said, I am the only way. There is just one. What a challenge that is to our increasing secular understanding of what faith should be about. Even years ago, we have the belief of universalism, where any road will take you to God. Any church, any belief will take you to God. I remember my old grandfather who did a bit of a world tour after the First World War, and I remember reading his diary. He chatted to someone on the way home in New York, and he made a little comment, this guy is a universalist. It was like even in those days they were aware that there were people who thought you could get to God any way you like. It doesn't matter, just any way will do. The only way is Jesus, and he tells us that. There is no other way. The early church apostles made that very clear also. Salvation is found in no other name under heaven than the name of Jesus. There's no other name by which we are saved, Acts chapter 4. Yes, it's easy to want everybody to think that we are open-minded about everything. But you know, Jesus calls you and I to be narrow-minded. Doesn't sound very popular, does it? Doesn't sound very PC or inclusive. You see, we must be inclusive when it comes to reaching out and presenting the gospel and to loving people. We must love everyone. You can't be fussy about where people start their journey with God. We must be inclusive. But when it comes to presenting the way to God, there is only one way, and we must be exclusive. There is no other way. There is no other way. Well, the way that Jesus proposes has signs and it has guides. And in the scriptures we are shown what these are. The Spirit, the Word, and our Christian leaders, people who have special gifts and wisdom and teaching, who have the ability to faithfully share the scriptures with us and their experience of God. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit was promised. Jesus came and he left, but he left us with the Holy Spirit. Some theologians sort of have this view that there's only one person of God can be on earth at once. And so Jesus departed and then the Spirit came. But the Spirit is God, and he is part of that Trinity. He is our sign and our guide. He will lead us into all truth, as the verse in John 14:26 says. He will comfort us and guide us and lead us. Even in the Old Testament, we had Joshua when he started his big campaign to go into the Promised Land. There we see God reminding him, you get your head in the Word every day. Don't let it depart from your mind. Read the Word. Know what it says. So that when you get into your battles, when you don't know what to do next, you will know. Because it's in the Bible. It's in the Scriptures. The Spirit leads us. The Word leads us. And our leaders also lead us. The book of Titus has a few verses where Paul is saying to him, you know, go and teach the old men. how to be like this. Go and teach the old woman how to be like this. Go and teach the younger men, the younger women. The ministry of leaders is to be an example and to teach and to guide and to give wise decisions. You know, I think sometimes with these areas, the signs and the guides that keep us on that narrow path to God, we sometimes take them for granted. Do you know, as I came through the gates today, you know, when anyone asks you to do something for God, you know, it's always, oh, please, Lord, put the idea in my mind. Let me know what to do. How do I know where to begin? And every time I prepare a message, even if I'm, you know, altering what I've done before, I always go, Lord, give me something new, something fresh. Well, today I walk through the gate there and I see I am the way, the truth, and the life is written on those wrought iron gates. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit in some way told me that. I didn't know it. I didn't know that was on the gates there. But he has a funny way of guiding us. When we think we're just running on empty, or we think we're maybe just following our own thoughts, when we've committed them to him, I believe the power of the Spirit comes in and makes it his thoughts. He guides, he leads. That's the way I find the Holy Spirit leads. Our leaders, do we really value our leaders? The guidance, the wisdom they give us, the example of their life. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we seem that our occupation has to be to critique them. Sometimes they have different personalities that don't always rub up easily with us. And we just always find we're not on the same page. You know, it's important to sit back and just have an attitude of honouring them. You know, in my whole life I've been in churches. And yes, there's been some leaders that I've just found, I just don't seem to feel on the same path. But I've always learned that I must pray for them and honour them. Even if it's hard work, there are some that I just click with so easily. And you just have a whole lot of fun with, and you seem to be see things in the same way and interested in the same things. But even the ones that are hard to get on with, pray for them. Have that attitude of remembering to honour them, because God has put them there, and the people together have put them there and given them their blessing and a special task to do. And as we do that, we find the relationship improves. And I even now, I've had one leader in a church that I've been involved in who I've always found it a bit hard to understand. And yet in recent years, I've found my love for that person has been increasing, and my respect for that person, because I've really made a decision to remember to pray for that man. And, you know, now when I see him, it's just like, g'day. You know, I really respect that man. But it wasn't easy at the start. And that's important to recognise that these are the signs and the way, the guides that lead us to the narrow path. You know, number three, the way is not always the easy way. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's unpopular. Jesus is not always popular. Following him is not always easy. You know, Jesus made the comments that if the world hates you, don't worry. Guess what? They hated me first. It's not a big deal, you know. I know that. You know, but if you take me on board, if you want to live your life through me, put me first and everything, then other people won't particularly like you. Oh, I always remember when I was at Roxburgh, I was watching a rugby game with my son, and a guy I knew in the community was there with his son. And I'd never met him before, but while we were standing there, I just knew that he hated everything that I was and everything that I stood for. I didn't even know the guy. I had no relationship with him. As I found out later, he was married to someone who was involved in a particular cult. And he obviously had this real bad attitude towards anything to do with religion. But I could just feel his vibes. He knew, oh, that's the new Baptist minister. Oh, you know, and he didn't want to know me. And I'd almost feel like putting my hand on his shoulder and going, what is it with you? Why do you not like me? You know, what have I done? Nothing. I just follow Jesus. That's all it took for him to hate me. And that's what Jesus is saying. Sometimes it's people in your own family. Sometimes the hardest thing is to walk that narrow road with people in your own family. You know, we've had times occasionally where some of our family members have made different value choices, different decisions about how they live their lives, their morals, their values. And occasionally we've had to set up a standard, particularly in our own home, and say, well, look, we love you, you're always welcome, but this is a standard that we won't change, no matter how much we love you. And that is what it is about walking the narrow road. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's unpopular. And you know what? God won't give you an easier life. How many people come to God because it's going to be easy? Oh, phew, yay! You know, it's going to be a piece of cake. No. You know, the hardest thing I found in my walk down that narrow road is waiting. Waiting. You find it hard to wait when God gives you a promise, when God gives you a sense of what might be in the future, and you've got to wait for it. Gee, you know, I didn't know what to do with my life when I was about 21, 22. I knew I wasn't going to be a farmer. I dealt with that. But then I didn't know what was coming next, you know. And then all of a sudden I had an incredible experience with God, and he showed me. Oh, well, that's great, but it took me another 9 years before it actually started to happen. And he actually told me how long it would be, and I thought, gee, I can't wait that long. But I had to. And, you know, as the time went on, I just got a bit more relaxed about the whole thing, and I just knew that it had to be his time and his place. It's not always easy walking that narrow way. The last point... the way is safe. I like that. The way is safe. You know, the good shepherd, as we see in John chapter 10, he promises that no one can snatch you and I away from his hands. No one can take us away from his pen where he has us. What an amazing promise. Everything you give to God is protected. The way is so safe. You know, I remember waking up at the crib at Waikwete and looking out my window one morning and seeing these two people walking, these lovely black lads down the road. They were guide dogs. And these two people were walking all the way down to the beach. They were safe because those amazing dogs knew where not to go. They knew to stay on that narrow path and to guide their masters safely down to the beach. And there would be no accidents, no one could run them over because they were safe with their dogs. Jesus promises you and I that no one can take us away from his guidance, from his safety, from his hands. The way is safe, and just like a guide dog does, Jesus will stick to you and I and never let us go. And we have an eternal promise that our life is with him in heaven. You know, this all seems quite straightforward stuff, but knowing that Jesus is your way and that you must stick to his path is so important. There are many who stray from it, and often it's when things get hard. Often it's when there's not popularity. You know, if anyone... I think the things that you maybe go into politics for are totally opposite to what you become a Christian for. Because isn't it true that politicians, the first thing they look at are the polls and popularity? That's what is the driving thing force often behind what they're doing, the decisions that they make. You know, they get a feel for what's popular first before they make their decisions. And, you know, Christianity is the opposite. We get a feel for what's right first. What is truth? And then we make our decisions about what we do and what we stick to and where we go. So those are that's the first aspect I want to share with you in this three-part series. Jesus is your way. Next week, we're going to be looking at the truth. As Pilate said, what is truth? Well, we'll have a look at that next week. But I want to encourage you today just to... we don't always do responsive readings in this church. When I go to Rhonda's school, Lever, Masses and things at the Catholic Church, they have a lot of responsive readings up for us to follow. And maybe if you want to recommit yourself today to the narrow path, you could just say these words after me. Jesus, I believe only you can save me. Jesus, I will be receptive to the Spirit, the Word, and your leaders.
Jesus, I will be receptive to the Spirit, the Word, and your leaders.
The path may be hard and unpopular, but I will continue to walk your path. And Jesus, I trust you to protect me from evil.
Jesus, I trust you to protect me from evil.
Amen.